Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning out there in Radio Land. This is Brilliant Ideas, and you are, as the man said, listening to the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show. Welcome to another Saturday morning where we meet with foodie friends, have some fun, get in trouble, not especially in that order. And we welcome everyone, and thank you for supporting our show each and every weekend. The numbers keep growing. We like to thank everyone for joining us. Today we've got a fun-packed show with all kinds of guests. I'm going to be surrounded by lovely ladies today. Some guys get all the luck. It's amazing. We got a whole lineup. Matter of fact, I'm going to have a hard time keeping up with all these foodie ladies. I mean, they're all lovely and they all know how to cook. So, hey, I'm living the dream. We've got Emily Ellen joining us from Florida along with her friend Linky Moraes, and Katarina Borg from Good Food Gourmet will be joining us afterwards, and then Tonda from Tonda's Kitchen, of course, will be coming along to talk about cheese and what have you. It has to do with St. Patrick's Day, and then we've got the Jazzy Gourmet who will be playing some piano music and talking about food, and then last but not least, we're going to be joining the Annapolis group in Annapolis, Maryland, of Foodie and Friends, and Laurie, our Jersey-style food news girl, who's going to be our roving reporter in Annapolis today, will be joining us at the end of the show, so you can see it's going to be very busy. It looks like the system is working properly this morning for a change. Blog Talk Radio has made changes, and keep your fingers crossed. The last few weeks we've had nothing but technical difficulties, but it looks like it's up and running, and everything looks like the hamster's running on the wheel and making this thing work. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on our first two guests, and you guys all know Emily Ellen at emilyellen.com, and Emily is calling in from Florida, and if I hit the button, I should have her here this morning. Good morning, Emily.
Hi, Brilliant. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself? Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm so happy that I get to be linked in as one of the brilliant girls in your radio harem. Hello.
Are you privileged? And you're bringing another one on too, right?
That's right. My girlfriend, Linky Murray, she was on the Next Food Network Star with me, and she's launching her lifestyle brand, Living Linky Style. Here's Linky.
Hello.
Hi, Linky. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It sounds like you have a fun, packed afternoon scheduled.
Oh, my God. It's like I don't think I can keep up with all these ladies, but, yeah, it's going to be a fun one. And, you know, tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, so I read something on Facebook. It said, put some whiskey in my coffee because it's Ireland somewhere. So I think it's Ireland for me today.
I love that. You know, Brilliant, Linky and I were just on Fox and we cooked up some fun. I made a Guinness glazed corned beef and Linky made
a Cosmo. Actually, a clover Cosmo. It was great. It was delicious.
Oh, wow.
It was. So we've already been drinking and eating full throttle all morning. And you're going to love this. Guess why Linky came to visit me down here in sunny Florida?
Why?
she is on tour barbecuing with the HPB Expo, the Hearth Patio and Barbecue Expo, and she just competed in the Green Egg Cook-Off. It was like
wow.
a brilliant idea. Fiesta.
Oh, my gosh.
It was delicious.
You said the magic words. And first of all, Linky, I think you're from South Africa, right?
That is correct, yes.
Well,
born and raised half of my life, yes.
Well, the name Linky, I have to admit, when I hear the name Linky, it makes me think of pork sausages and a little tiny link. So I think it's perfect that you're down there cooking on green eggs and in the barbecue land.
Well, thank you. You know, you're the first that says it reminds you of sausages. Usually people say, am I the missing link or what is going on?
So tell me about the barbecue adventures you've been having down there.
Well, you know, I am from South Africa, and South Africa is all about barbecuing. We have these things called braais, where sometimes we put a whole lamb on the spit, and it's, you know, it's all about hanging out and chilling. And so, you know, where I'm working together with some people on home gating, you know, and to pull all of that together, the barbecue scene and taking tailgating and barbecuing back to your backyard is basically what home gating is all about. So I was invited to come do the cook-off, which was amazing. It was so much fun. We cooked.
She won the hearts and stomachs over of all the
public. Wow.
And I got to be fed this beautiful South African lamb-inspired dish that had this, like, fruit chutney that was so good. You know me and food. Oh, gosh. I was just, like, taking a blanket, just eating away.
It was delicious. I didn't win the cook-off, but I think Emily's right.
Fan favorite.
The whole way. So it was a lot of fun. It was a blast. And I got to be outdoors, and I got to be playing with a grill. So, you know, I'm always happy when that happens.
Well, there you go. Now, that's kind of out of your arena, isn't it? Because aren't you usually into cakes and desserts?
Oh, guess what else you made on the green eggs?
What?
Yeah, speaking of which, since I am cakes and everything too, along with, you know, because it's the whole living Linky style experience, so it's not just cakes and pastries, but I also cooked a dessert on the green. It was a cream cheese crostata, and I used this cool thing called a grill plate from Grill Innovations, which basically turns your grill into a convection oven, so it allows you to bake on the grill.
Wow.
You need one of those, Grill, yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? I actually cooked a blueberry crumb cake, pie, about a year ago on the grill. And the biggest problem was it tasted great, but keeping it from burning on the bottom. So I have to check out one of those grill plates because I think that's the issue is you got to keep it from burning the bottom of the pastry or whatever you're cooking.
Exactly. Well, and that's exactly what this grill plate does. Is it like, you know, it keeps your stuff from burning on the bottom because it transfer all the heat and it just, like, you know, fills the whole grill. I don't know how it works. I'm not technical. I just know that it works.
Well, let me just say it's an excellent idea because those green egg people over there, they are so smart with how they design this. The green egg is designed after a tandoori oven or almost like a pottery kiln.
Mm-hmm.
So only 10% of the heat comes from the burnt wood. The rest of the heat is actually captured in the, you know, ceramic insulated walls, and
right.
It radiates out that thermal heat.
Wow, that sounds very interesting. I want to check that out. As a matter of fact, I've heard about it, but I'll have to check it out. And now I heard firsthand that someone's done it, and it does work, so that sounds cool. So tell us about this lifestyle thing that you're working on.
Well, you know, I was known on the show for baking and desserts, but like I said, you know, back to my history with South Africa, I have so many things that I do. I used to do pageants. I'm outdoorsy. We camp. We hunt. We make our own sausage. So, you know, in order to capture all of that, I thought there's no better way to do a lifestyle, you know, a whole lifestyle branch or, you know, instead of just doing cakes and pastries because I love to do it all. And it's kind of like the young, you know, young Martha Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the outdoors is basically what it is. If you merge that with the outdoors and, you know, camping and hunting and grilling and all that stuff, then that's basically the brand I'm building.
Wow. Now, is that part of linkycakes.com or is that do you have a different website for that?
has livinglinky.com, and
okay.
Linky Cakes is a small portion of it. But the cool thing is, she's been showing me what she's been working on, and she has videos, tips, and more that she'll be loading up soon enough. So if you start following her on Facebook, she'll be announcing soon some big things for her lifestyle brand.
Exactly.
Great.
And I have a new website that will launch soon that will have my blog, and I will give some tips and things not only about food, but the whole experience of food and the whole lifestyle thing, home gating. Everybody spends so much time and money into taking the kitchen and putting it in the outdoors with tailgating, but, things get expensive sometimes. So we're bringing the party back to your own backyard and making it easy for you to entertain no matter where or when you are.
Well, you're a lady after my own heart because you're talking about all the things I love to do, and I appreciate you guys taking a few minutes to come in on the show. And if people want to find out more information about your things, Linky, they can find it, like you said, Living Linky, and that's linkie.com, or Linky Cakes, which is your other website. And, of course, our good buddy Emily Ellen at emilyellen.com. And, Emily, I understand you're going to be coming on sometime in April to give us some interesting announcements, right?
Well, I'm always cooking up some fun. Like next week I start filming an independent film where I play myself on the Eating Channel. And
okay.
The movie is called Fat, Dumb, and Happy, and you can follow along on the journey through Banks Helfrich, the producer's creative inspiration. He's launched a page, Fat, Dumb, and Happy, themovie.com, and you can see it being produced, which is going to be awesome. The
right.
main character finds happiness through a little retro rad inspiration. You know how I like to inspire. And then, of course, like you said, there's a little announcement. If you start watching the Food Network, you might get some hints on some of those commercials they run.
Wink, wink. We want you to come back on in April, and we'll talk about more of what you're doing. And, Linky, thank you for joining us, and keep us posted as you develop your new website and your lifestyle. And you're always welcome to come back on the show.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me, and I would love to join you up sometime and actually cook up a real storm.
Oh, all right. I like that.
I'm going to cook with you. Yeah, I think Linky should be grilling on tour. A
hey,
brilliant
there you
idea.
Go.
Why don't you take us on the road? All these
hey, I like
girls.
That. We'll get in our big grill bus and go across the country.
Amen to that. I'm in.
All right, ladies, have fun there in Florida.
Yeah, and we'll be listening to the rest of the show. Thanks for having us on.
All right, thank you. Take care. Everybody check out their websites. We appreciate them coming on, and we're going to take a brief break and be back with
been a rebel from deep down in the south, getting my share of trouble for what comes out of my mouth. I call them like I see them, maybe I come on too strong. You got your opinions and the right to say I'm wrong. That's the way I am, what you see is what you get. I'm a free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I don't hate nobody, don't mean to stir things up. I don't use the right words, I ain't sensitive enough. It's gotten too damn easy to step on people's toes. You sugarcoat the truth or get sued before you know. No matter what I say, somebody gets upset with this free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I'm sorry, I'm so backward, so crude, so second class. Please help me out and tell me, what's the PC way to say, kiss my ass? I wonder who these people are that sit around all day, making up a list of words we can and can't. can I say? They got everybody thinking this should be the law. I read the First Amendment. I know my rights, y'all. Well, call me civil-minded. Well, that's what you expect from this free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. Well, I ain't got no worries, I ain't got no regrets. I'm a free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I'm a free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. That's right. You can tell them all they can kiss my grill. Go look that up in your PC dictionary. Oh, did I say something wrong?
And we are back, and we'd like to thank once again Emily Ellen and Linky Moraes for being on our show this morning. Without further ado, I'm going to move quickly to our next guest, which is our good buddy Katarina, as we call her Kitty Cat, with her sexy dessert segment. And if the system will allow me to, I will push this button, and one, two, three. Oh, here we go. I spoke too soon. The system was working properly just a little while ago, and now here we go with more technical difficulties. Give me a second. Okay, Kitty Cat, I think it's working. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Here we go. It's an ongoing weekly issue with Blog Talk Radio. The buttons don't work, but hey, I'm here, you're here, and welcome to the show. And you're going to be talking to us about some Easter desserts this morning.
Well, absolutely. We have a really great show lined up for you today, and it sounds like you've gotten off to a great start already, and I'm humbled to be part of this great group this morning, and thank you for always being so generous with your time and offering me, you know, a little space to be able to share.
You can pay me later. Send me a doggy bag filled with desserts.
Well, you know, it is a busy day for you, and I know that your time is really tight today. So I figured we could kind of jump into what we have planned as far as Easter breads go. And, of course,
right,
the ones that I'm doing are probably more on the sweet side than usual. There is one that I'm going to share that I came across on the Internet that was really adorable. And I think for those of you that really get into the Easter celebration and the Easter table, looking for something that's a centerpiece, I came across with an Easter bunny made out of bread dough where they cut out the tummy part and they fill it with dip. And whether you choose to, have fruits to accompany it or, vegetables and then like a savory dip, it would apply to both. And
it sounds like a hair-raising idea.
And then, of course, the fun part of doing something like that is you can kind of nibble on the air, kind of what the women do for you every now and again. And,
yeah,
you know, as you're dipping, you know, with the veggies or the fruit into the sauce, you know, either a caramel or chocolate sauce or a nice savory dip, pull a little piece of bread and nibble here and there. So it's all good.
A lot of nibbling going on over here.
Well, and then the other one that I wanted to share with you is this is probably along the lines of a more gooey and decadent type of bread, and it's going to be a chocolate marble bread that is going to have your favorite Easter candy kind of rolled into it and folded into it and then baked. And I don't know what your favorite Easter candy is, but mine is those Cadbury eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Can't
pass those up. I do love those. Yeah, I wish
they
made them all year long.
I love them. And you know, it's really hard for me to stay away from those things, so I just don't even bring them home anymore, because I would bring the little four-pack, and by the time I got home, I think I barely had one left. So, but the gooey fondant part on the inside melts as the bread bakes, and it just adds that, you know, almost kind of like a cinnamon roll type of gooiness,
right,
on the inside. And and then you've got the chocolate pieces. And, of course, Cadbury is a really good chocolate. Well, it used to be when I was growing up, and it changed a little bit, but it's still up there. I prefer it better than Hershey's. But but it kind of lends to a really nice, you know. And, of course, desserts are all about the mouthfeel, you know.
Yes. among other things. But let me ask you, I mean, so you're talking about making, like, we're talking about, like, regular dough bread and then putting the Cadbury.
Yes.
Really?
Sure. Yeah. And so this is going to be a chocolate, a plain and a chocolate marble. And then in the marble, you know, cut up whatever, you know, favorite Easter candy you like. I mean, some people like jelly beans, and you might think, oh, jelly beans aren't going to bake in really nice to a bread. But they do. You know, once they melt, they kind of,
huh,
get, you know, they slightly melt, but there's still that little gooiness to it and chewiness to it. You know, other people like, you know, the little candied nougat eggs that you could find,
right,
these days with a little bit of chocolate. But I stick to the good stuff, you know. I mean, anything chocolate for me is always a good thing. So I like those fondant eggs, and that's what's going to be in my chocolate marble Easter bread. And I'm calling it a candy bread.
Candy bread. I have never heard of
candy
such a thing. I'm going to have to try that out. You're going to have the recipe for these on your website, goodfoodgourmet.com?
Yes, but we still have actually about four desserts we still need to get through for Lent. And because Lent goes
Wait a minute, before you go. You know, I'm not real religious and I'm not Catholic, but I did tell you last time you were on, we talked about things for Lent, right?
Yes.
And I gave up Brussels sprouts, and wanted to let you know I'm still good. I'm still good.
The candied version or the straight version?
The straight version, of course.
Okay. Well, but still, you know, we've got the four other desserts, which I'll mention. It's the stovetop halva, which we mentioned last time, that I'm making this weekend. A baklava with oil, which we mentioned last time. And then a plum dumpling, which is made with steamed potatoes in the dough. Very, very tender. Absolutely delicious. And a chocolate cake. So I'm going to be sharing those. And then I'm going to jump into the Easter bread. So that'll probably be in about a week and a half. But I still have two more to mention really quickly.
Well, matter of fact, you said a plump dumpling or a plum dumpling?
Plum.
Oh,
plum dumpling.
My grandmother used to call me a plump dumpling when I was a kid.
Well, I didn't want to go there, but, you know, since you kind of opened up the topic here, did you wear your stretchy shorts again this morning?
Oh, yeah, and I got the colorful ones on, too, for Easter, the ones that are all different colors like Easter eggs. And then we got Tonda coming on after you, so
right.
I'm going to have to change into my green underwear after that. But I've got the colorful ones on for Easter right now.
Well, you did promise me, so I just wanted to make sure. So, but the other one that I'm going to do is a little bunny sweet roll, which, you know, again, if you want to do things with the children, I always like to every now and then throw in a little, you know, a little project that you could do with the kids. You know, it's March, but, you know, we've had some really cold weather, and, you know, with the snow scare the other day that basically the whole country shut down, you know, we didn't get not even a fleck of snow, by the way.
Yeah,
literally.
I saw that.
I mean, not even, it was ridiculous. But, you know, in the event that these schools are closed and the kids are home and you want to do something fun, these are really great. And these little bunny rolls are going to be, again, on the sweet side. And I'm going to fill them with an almond cream and roll them in the shape of a little rabbit. And they'd be really great to have on the table. So my last one is something called potitsa. Have you ever heard of it?
Potitsa?
Yeah, I've even heard it called povititsa. But most of the time when you see it in commercially in the stores. It's called Potica, and it's spelled P-O-T-I-C-A. And this is something that's really delicious.
P-O-T-I-C-A. In college, we made pizza with pot, and that would have been a potica too, wouldn't it?
We are not going there today.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is a family-style show.
Yes, it is.
We're trying to keep it that way. So this
well, it was
is
a family.
Potica.
It was a family. Hey, it was a family-sized pizza. Does that count?
Oh, brilliant! What am I going to do with you?
I don't know.
This particular dessert does have poppy seed filling.
We're close.
Well, I figured that would make you happy. So yes. If that's your choice of filling, you could definitely go that route. But some of the more common fillings for potica, and what it is it's a very sweet, delicate dough, lots of butter, real, real flaky, that's rolled very, very thin. And then you fill it with poppy seed filling, or you could fill it with it's a walnut, apricot, or you could do like a chocolate almond cream. And what they do is they roll it all up, let it proof slightly, and then bake it. It takes a golden brown color, and then when you slice it, it's really the filling that makes this dessert. And you bite into it, it's so tender, it just melts in your mouth. Really, really delicious. And this is something from, a lot of the Eastern European countries, Yugoslavia, you've got, Romania, Croatia, very, very popular. And, of course, there are different renditions of them in each of the different countries. But very, very popular, very delicate, really easy to make. These are not anything that are difficult to make. And what I try to do is I try to use recipes that I've already shared on the blog, which is www.goodfoodgourmet.com. And my thing was always to take existing recipes and, tweak them slightly and make a bunch of other different things. So what I find that a lot of people do is they will take one particular recipe for one thing, and then they'll create a whole other recipe for something else that might be, totally different. But you don't really need to do that. You can just take one basic recipe, do a few tweaks here and there, and create a whole other dessert or a whole other product. And that's really what I'm trying to get people to understand, is if you just have a handful of really good recipes in your dessert file, you can mix and match and add, one particular product to either a bread dough or something that's a little bit more sweet, and turn it into a completely different product. So,
I think you did that, by the way, with your chocolate bread. I think you may have been smoking some of that pot we were talking about when you came up with that one, but. I will have to try that out.
Well, the thing is that I think the reason that people are afraid to get into baking is because they think, all these recipes and all of this measuring and all of this, how am I going to keep it all straight? And I think one of the things that they really should embrace more is that it doesn't have to be complicated. Just choose your favorite things and, your favorite cake bases, whether it's a chocolate cake or a yellow cake. You can create, other fillings and turn each one into a different dessert. And, I think that if you kind of gear your mind more towards that, baking isn't as frightening to people who don't do it often. And so I try to simplify things, and whenever I put up a new recipe, it's something that I've kind of remodified, retooled a little bit. And, I'll always show the original recipe, refer back to it, and see what the original was like and how I've changed this one to create something completely different. The look of it might be completely different. The taste of it may be completely different. And all you need to do is just a few different things. So then it won't be completely overwhelming.
It won't be monotonous.
Monotonous. Well, baking is never monotonous, that's for sure. But I think there's just this huge fear factor that, you know, keeps people out of the kitchen. And, you know, a lot of people that love to cook, but, you know, the baking is like this, you know, I don't know, this huge nefarious kind of black orb, you know, in the kitchen that kind of hangs over everybody's head, and people are afraid to really undertake it, and not something that you really need to do. And I think my part of my job in life is to show people truly how easy it is, and how approachable it is.
Honestly, I can segue right from there because I got to move along and say
you are just so good.
I know you folks can make it real simple and find out how easy, and make sure that your baking is not whatever that word you said, nefarious, and go to
big black orb.
It's a big black orb, and go to goodfoodgourmet.com, and the fear factor will be gone, and Katarina will help you through the darkness, the valley of the shadow.
Help you through the darkness back into the light.
And on that note, I got to let you go because I got Cheese Lady in the wings, and I got to run.
Love you, babe. See you next
Love
month.
You. Take care. See you next month.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
And there you go. Check out Katarina's website, goodfoodgourmet.com, and you can find out how to bake and not be afraid of it. And on that note, I'm going to switch over, and we'll put on my green underwear, and we're going to switch over to St. Patrick's Day, talk about cheese. And if this thing will allow me to push the button, I should have our good friend Tonda from Tonda's Kitchen on here with us. Good morning, Tonda. Are you there?
I'm here.
Did you bring your cheese?
I have cheese. And I'm also wearing green. Just
All
so
right.
You know.
And I'm switching to my green undies, and I'm ready to talk about green cheese and St. Patrick's Day.
Now, let me ask, are you wearing your leprechaun hat, too?
There's
nothing more fascinating than green undies and maybe, like, little fun boots and then, of course, the leprechaun hat.
Well, of course, it's radio, so, yes, I'll tell you I'm wearing my green hat. And, yes, you're always after me. Lucky Charms, the magic is delicious.
Whoa,
so.
Slanche. I'm so excited. I love this time of year. I really love St. Patrick's Day. You know, and it's just a fun holiday. It makes everybody just kind of happy and drunk. But it's interesting because I recently was talking with an Irishman, and he's like, you know, you guys really do St. Patrick's Day up here. And I'm like, the whole world, like, but it, apparently, you know, we really throw a massive party, like, way more so than most of the world.
isn't that what it's all about? Is that green? Well, you know what? I don't really like green beer, to be honest with you, but isn't it about drinking and having a good time and partying with your friends?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, you know, and wishing, you know, good luck and good fortune upon others. And, you know, the Irish are very fond of their beer and their whiskey. So,
yes,
you know,
they are. So what if I was to sit down and have a few brewskis, what cheese do I eat with my beer?
Well, so glad you asked. You know, there's amazing Irish cheeses out there. I think the probably most common one that you'll find pretty much everywhere are the cheeses from the Kerrygold Company. Of course, they do their butter as well, too. But, you know, Dubliner is one of those cheeses that pretty much I feel like everybody's had. And it's kind of like a little mix between a cheddar and a Swiss, and maybe like the little sharpness of a Parmesan as well, too. So it definitely is a real tasty cheese. It's a crowd pleaser. And a lot of people, when they hear that I love cheese, it's interesting how many people are like, oh, Dubliner, that's my favorite. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that people recognize that. So it is, you know, a little bit more on the mass-produced scale, you know, because you can find it everywhere. But there really are some really great cheeses. I know we have definitely talked about the Porter cheddar.
Yeah.
This is, of course, the year or the time of year that I really like to highlight that particular cheese. But being that it's such a good beer pairing cheese, I mean, it's kind of something that really goes good year round. But of course, that's from the Cahill family, and they produce farmstead farmhouse cheeses. And of course, that's kind of what I really appreciate, or the artisan style, the farmstead cheeses, which farmstead basically means that the cheeses were produced from milk from the farm, from the farmer's herds, and only from there, sourced only from that particular farm. It can't come from anywhere else. So
okay.
To have kind of sustainability within an operation is just really awesome. And, of course, it's, they tend to be a little bit more smaller production, harder to get a hold of, but, you know, much better quality, you know, and you really are supporting, you know, the farmer and that, you know, that particular artisan and his craft, so, or
right.
her craft.
Have you heard of bourbon cheese?
Bourbon cheese? Well, there's definitely a whiskey cheese. There's I haven't heard actually from bourbon, like from Kentucky bourbon. I haven't.
Yeah.
No, haven't seen that. But I will tell you, I'm going to look for it because.
Yeah, you got to look for it because I saw on TV. As a matter of fact, I was watching Fox something yesterday, and something came on. They were talking about bourbon, and bourbon has been growing for the last 5 years as kind of the it's the drink that people are starting to recognize again, and they
definitely.
mentioned that bourbon is bourbon cheese is something new that's come out with. I knew about the whiskey cheese, but yeah, check it out. Maybe you talk about it next month when you come on. But and I didn't know if you'd had it or not. I'd never heard of it before either.
I just actually had recently, and this is kind of off cheese subject, but I just found in one of our local beer stores. A Kentucky bourbon ale, and it was basically a nice robust ale that was, made in the bourbon barrels, and oh my God, it was insanely good, and it was pretty expensive. I mean, I think I probably spent $15 for a 4-pack, but
wow.
My God, it was good. It was really, really good. Anyway,
it better be good. It better be good for $15 because I pay like $3.99 for my 6-pack.
Well, this was good. It was definitely a much heavier alcohol content as well too. So, but I will be looking for the bourbon cheese because I do love me some bourbon. I do.
Is there a green cheese?
Well, there is. My Sage Darby has always been one of my favorite cheeses, and of course, I think I've actually talked about it on your show before too. But it's got a real nice herbal essence to it. It's, you know, full of fresh sage and fresh parsley, and you know, so it's really got a real pretty aroma. But then, of course, it's green, and then that makes it just that much more fun. It's really creamy.
That would go well tomorrow with my green eggs and ham, right?
There you go. Yeah, that sounds good. And then, of course, you know, there's definitely the whiskey cheeses. There's another Irish cheese that's made from the Cahill family as well that they actually make with red wine, so that's kind of fun. But then, of course, other cheeses to certainly mention and not forget are the Cashel Blue is one of Ireland's biggest and certainly most noteworthy cheeses, a beautiful blue that they do. And then Coolia is a kind of like a Gouda style, which is really yummy as well. And then there's the Gubeen, which you can usually find in a smoked Gubeen. They also do it non-smoked, but I've only had it smoked. So, I mean, there's so many out there, and I mean, people can just kind of Google. There's a interesting farmstead or farmhouse Irish cheese guide online, and I mean, so if anybody's really interested in finding some unique Irish cheeses, aside from, you know, the traditional Dubliner that they find in their local grocer. And there's definitely ways to go out there and find some
I know you're a busy lady these days, but if you get a chance, if you could, send me, because, you know, I can't spell worth beans anyway, but send me a list and an email of all the names of those cheeses, and I'll post them on my Facebook page as far as what people should be looking for. And then maybe
there
they can go out and find all the different cheeses. They can go to their local cheese shop and impress
yeah.
the cheese man behind the counter and say, I'm looking for blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think it would impress the cheese man behind the counter. You know, there's not, I here in Orlando, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of options when it comes to finding really cool, unique cheeses, which, of course, we've talked about how I'm going to change that.
Right.
But there's wonderful cheese shops all across the country. And on my quest to always finding the newest, coolest spot, I, you know, honestly, I haven't really ever seen a whole lot of Irish cheese representation. So that would be, you know, if somebody was really wanting to go and stump their local cheesemonger, you know, that I can certainly give you some cheeses to ask for. And I'll go ahead and send over that.
All right, well, send it to me and keep me posted on all your developments. You told us last month some of the little things that you're working on there in Florida. And next month when you come on, I want you to see if you can find that bourbon cheese. I'd never heard of it before. And everybody's listening, you can find out more about Tonda on her website, which is Tonda's Kitchen at TONDASKitchen.com. And we appreciate you, Tonda, joining us this morning to talk a little bit about St. Patrick's Day cheeses and beers and what have you. And come back next month and fill us in on some more. So maybe, let's see, what's next month? Next month is April. I guess
April.
You're going to have to talk about Easter Bunny cheeses next month.
Hey, you know, I mean, absolutely. There's, you know, lots of, you know, there's great cheeses for every season, you know, and then the ones in between as well, too. So, yeah, I can certainly come and talk to you around that time, and we can talk about the different springtime cheeses and the fun things that are happening. So
great. Well, thank you very much, and you're always welcome. And everyone, check out her website. And I'm going to take a brief break. We're going to have Jazzy Gourmet joining us. And Jazzy Gourmet, she's actually a pianist, too, and I got to be careful when I say that word, but she plays the piano. And and so I'm going to play one of her songs.
It every time, too.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to play her song. It's called, one of her songs here is called Westbound. And everybody hang tight. We're going to have the Jazzy Gourmet on next. Thank you, Tonda. And we're going to be taking a short break. And everyone, hang on.
Thanks, girl. See you soon.
And we are back, and that was Jazzy Gourmet, Sherry Kay on the piano, and I think I have Sherry on the phone here with us. Good morning, Sherry. Welcome to the show.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us this Saturday morning. So I can see that not only do you tickle the ivory, but you also tickle the mixing bowls, and you do a little bit of piano playing and also gourmet cooking. And I wanted to have you on the show, and I mentioned to everyone, too, first that check out your website, which is jazzygourmet.com. So tell us all about Sherry Kay and your background in playing the piano and getting into the cooking world.
Oh, my gosh. Well, playing the piano, I started back when I was 3 years old. And went to college to study classical music and then got into my own composing and playing, have released some CDs, and was really into that for a very long time and decided I kind of needed a little bit of some balance. And I saw an ad in a magazine for a cooking contest. It was the National Cornbread Cook-Off in Tennessee, and I submitted a recipe for that, and that kind of just got me hooked into the whole cooking and cooking contest scene.
Wow. How long ago was that?
That was in 2007.
2007. So you went from playing piano to making cornbread to becoming a gourmet cook.
Something like that. It was kind of just on a whim that I saw that there was this ad for the contest, and you had to use Martha White cornbread mix, and you had to use a Lodge cast iron skillet. And I had neither of those things, but it sounded so enticing that I ran to a local store, bought both, ran home, whipped up a couple of recipes, and got a call a couple of weeks later saying that I was a finalist. So it was a lot of fun.
Wow. Really, really, really cool. Now, that song I just played called Westbound, did you actually compose that song?
Yes. Most of the music on my CDs I have composed. They're all originals. And other instrumentalists that you hear are mainly friends of mine who came into the studio and laid down the tracks for me.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, because, you know, you don't think of someone who's I guess there's plenty of people who have other talents other than cooking, but you've combined the two things together, which is very interesting, like on your website, Jazzy Gourmet. And tell people what they can find when they go to your website.
Well, at jazzygourmet.com, I have gift baskets of gourmet food and, of course, Sherry Kay CDs that people can order for different occasions. I also have my jazzygourmetblog.com where all of my recipe development occurs, and folks can go there to get. I usually have at least one new recipe a week that people can go and check out. I also have once a week what I call a zippy tip. I'm into making videos, and I have a zippy tip video each week that are how-to types of videos that folks, whether you've been cooking for a long time or whether you're a beginner, can go and watch videos and get new ideas.
Well, give me some ideas of some of the latest videos you've done.
One of my recent ones was different ways to peel garlic. I showed different ways to that you can peel garlic, whether by sticking it into the microwave or rolling it on the counter in one of those little tube things, or smashing your chef's knife on it. But then I saw this article about putting garlic cloves in between two bowls, and you know, putting the garlic cloves in a bowl and then putting another bowl on top of it, and then you shake it really vigorously. Well, that kind of led to the garlic peeling dance of shaking the bowls, which of course led to the garlic peeling dance song that I had to make up. So we just have all kinds of fun in our videos.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I always have problems with garlic. I mean, you know, I've done it with smashing it with the knife and crushing it like that. But garlic is kind of a weird little duck that I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to peel it the proper way. And I guess everybody has their unique ways of doing it. What's another video how-to that you've put on recently?
Well, let's see. I have done slicing and dicing an avocado and removing the pit with you know, stabbing it with the chef's knife and that whole kind of a thing. Saving your butter wrappers when you are using a recipe that calls for buttering a dish.
Right.
If you have saved your butter wrapper from having used butter in another recipe, if you fold up the wrapper and stick it in the freezer in a Ziploc bag, then when you have a recipe later that calls for butter, you can just reach into the freezer, grab one of the wrappers out, and you've already got it right there and ready to go.
Ah, very, very smart. I never even thought about that. So people can find, you post these, you say, what, once a month, the little houses?
Actually, once a week I have that.
Once a week,
I post it on Tuesdays. I call it Zippy Tip Tuesday. And then to correlate with that, on my Facebook page, Jazzy Gourmet Facebook page, I have a party on Tuesdays. So whatever the tip happens to be of the week, say that it's how to core a pineapple. And what I'll do is I'll have a party on Facebook having other people share their pineapple recipes for that day. So it's a great deal for everybody because different bloggers can come on my Facebook page, share their pineapple recipes, and then folks who are looking for pineapple recipes can come to my page on Tuesday, and it's filled with all these wonderfully talented people filling us with their pineapple recipes.
Very interesting. Now, people also, back to your music, if people want to find your music and want to purchase your music, you have your CDs on your jazzygourmet.com website?
Yes, there's a link to my CD page is actually sherryk.com.
Okay. Sherryk.com.
Yeah, where you can purchase that. If you go to the Jazzy Gourmet page first, it'll get you a link to that. But yeah, sherryk.com has all the different ways that you can purchase the music and listen to it ahead of time, too. And in all of my videos, the Jazzy Gourmet videos, I usually have one of my songs in the background playing, too, as I'm discussing the instructional part of the video of the recipe.
How many CDs do you have?
I have four CDs.
Four CDs.
Two of them are, like I said, original music. And then I have one of hymns and spirituals, because I'm a lot into gospel music and that kind of scene. And then the last one is Have Yourself a Sherry Little Christmas with all Christmas tunes.
There you go. Have Yourself a Sherry Little Christmas. Well, I wanted to have you on to briefly talk, you know, everybody about your website and hear your music and also the find out more about your Facebook page and all the things that you're doing. And everybody who's listening, make sure you check out jazzygourmet.com, or you said sherryk.com?
Yes, sir, for the CDs and the music.
And what I'm going to do, Sherry, is I'll let you go, but I'm going to play your other song. Then this is another original. It's called Home.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to play another one of your songs called Home, and we're going to go to break. And, Sherry, thank you for joining us. Everyone, check out Sherry's website, and we're going to be taking a brief break, and then we'll be coming back here after Sherry's song Home, and we'll be talking with the Annapolis Food Group, and Laurie will be there interviewing them as to what's going on with the Foodie and Friends there in Annapolis. And thanks again, Sherry. You have a nice weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
And that was the Jazzy Gourmet, Sherry Kay, and her song called Home. We appreciate her being on our show this morning. Check out her website, like I mentioned before, sherrykay.com, to get her music. She's got 4 CDs there you can check out. And also go to her website to find out about her weekly tips on cooking tips and different things, and her little video series, and also check her out on Facebook. And on that note, we are going to move on to our next adventure today. I'm out of breath. We're going from one lady to another lady to another lady to another lady. It's like a day out, a night out with me at the disco. But anyway, we've got our food news girl, our Jersey-style girl, Laurie, and she's calling in from Annapolis, Maryland. She's our roving reporter this morning, and she's calling in from Annapolis, and everything seems to be working pretty good so far this morning, and the phones are working. Good morning, Laurie. Are you in Annapolis?
Good morning. I'm here. And guess what? Brilliant. I'm actually having wine. I actually had a glass of wine at 10 to 12.
Oh, well, I was going to say it's afternoon.
Here.
Well, it's afternoon there, so you can do that. So it's still only morning, but I think you can get away with it over there on the East Coast.
Well, they started really early here, and I was kind of afraid. I'm like, well, I better wait till like 10 to 12. So Brian Fairchild opened a nice glass of a nice bottle of red wine, so I had a glass. So it's fun.
So tell me what's going on there with the food friends, Facebook friends over there in Annapolis. It sounds like there's quite a pile of food and lots of good friends there.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of food. And Donna French Wild has this beautiful home on the water. And there's about 15 of us now, and she's expecting like 3 more people. And it's a lot of fun, a lot of food. We have Greg, and he's cooking. He's doing the barbecue. And I've got Brian. He's making a shrimp dish with mango sauce. There's a Brunswick stew cooking.
Wow.
Brian, what else are you doing here? You're on the radio.
I'm drinking.
Yes.
You're drinking. Well, that's what you always do.
Yes. Yes, and I brought some big kahuna with me.
Yay. Hey, you're learning. See, I'm converting you.
What? You're converting me, yeah. Well, wait till you see the pictures later. You and I are going to have words about, you know, all this lady stuff.
Hey, Brian. Brian. Can Brian he hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I say, do you have your lipstick and your high heels on? Because I was only going to allow women to be on the show today.
I'm only, well, Lori can tell you. I won't tell you myself.
So, Laurie, have you guys started eating already?
He brought some really fancy wines, very expensive.
Yeah.
Well, no comparison to the big kahuna, I guess. But
I brought some real, not that stuff that you drink.
Yeah, he brought the real Vinny, not the stuff you drink.
The real stuff. So, have you guys started eating already?
We're working on it.
Yeah, we're working on it. I've been doing tasting. We had to add salt to the Brunswick stew. I said it needed salt, so Greg added some of that. He's just an amazing barbecue guy, which I didn't know. He's got chicken, he's got salmon, I guess he's got pork? What else did he bring?
Yes, he's smoking his butt.
He's smoking his butt.
Smoking his butt.
Oh, boy.
And by the way, that's for those people who don't know, that's Greg Blanton, and he's on Facebook. And, he's a big-time griller. Does Greg want to say anything on the radio?
I asked him, and he said he doesn't want to do too much talking.
Oh,
otherwise,
okay.
Then he said he doesn't want to take over on the radio. So I thought I'd have Donna say a few words, because Donna's been doing this get-together with Facebook friends. I have Maria Springer here. I just was talking to her, and I'm honored, because she's such a lovely lady, and I've been friends with Maria for quite a few years now on Facebook, so we finally get to meet face-to-face.
You're the first one that sent me those beautiful flowers. I got on Facebook, and here you were, and I thought, oh, my goodness, what do I do with these flowers? Do I click on them or what?
And, Donna, do you want to say a few words? You're on the radio.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi, Donna. How are you? So you're throwing another big shindig over there in Annapolis, I hear.
Hey, we're having a great time. Looking forward to all this food. I have no idea
even where to find table space for it. And I wish you were here with us.
Yeah.
Well, did you get, I don't know if you got my note. You got to send me a doggy bag now. When you get done, send me a doggy bag of any of the leftovers.
Oh, I wish we could. That would be awesome.
Tell him I'm saving some sangria for him.
He's saving sangria for you.
We have a person that's part of our group who is a mixologist. Actually, she's an accountant, but she took a course in mixing drinks, and she's come up with a smoky bourbon cocktail for us. So right now we're all enjoying that, and it's so, so good.
Brilliant. As you know, I didn't drink it because I'm afraid. I don't trust myself.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, live a little, Laurie. Live a little.
I don't know. I mean, it looks really good. I tasted it. Greg let me have a sip of his. I taste it's really good. But I'm just
Linda's drinks are way too sophisticated for you.
They are. They're way too sophisticated. So what Brian did was he was kind enough to open a Malbec Colombe, a 2006 Colombe.
And then you're going to drink 2000 Charlie Zinfandel later.
I'll
all right.
I felt that when he showed it to me. I said, Zinfandel? I said, but really it's not here.
Yeah,
so
now is that an old vine Zinfandel?
Yes, it is.
All right. You're talking my kind of stuff.
Geez, too bad you're here. You won't be able to drink it.
I know. Well, I'll be thinking of all you guys. So, Laurie, how long does the party go? Is it an all-nighter?
Oh, well, we're having a sleepover.
So we finish everything that we have to drink.
Yes.
This is Donna again. I want to tell you, Brilliant, I think that some of the creations that you come up cooking, that, you know, you definitely qualify to be in our group.
Well, thank you.
Put frozen pizza in the oven.
I think he's hysterical.
Oh, I'm thinking hysterical, and Brian said you put frozen pizzas in the oven.
Yes, well, you know. But I throw stuff on top, so doesn't that count?
Oh my gosh, that's a gourmet pizza.
Yeah, there you go. You throw on some bacon, you throw on some burger, and it's a gourmet pizza.
Why? Next time we'll have a pizza.
I'm going to call DiGiorno and tell him you're defacing their pizza.
Well, don't do that. Make a smiley face out of them, honey.
Right.
Wish you were here. It's a beautiful day on the bay.
Well, thank you. One day we'll do that, and I promise I'll crash your party for real. And we appreciate you taking time to let us come on and hear about the food friends and all the things you're there. And
well,
one day we may be broadcasting live. So thank you very much for joining us.
Well, my pleasure, and look forward to you coming seeing us.
All right, well, great. Thank you.
And we are having a slumber party. And we're having a slumber. Should I tell them about me, you, and Greg?
Yeah, Greg.
I'm the monkey in the middle, Brian says, because Greg and Brian decided they want to share the bed with me. So I said, I'll go in the middle. Just say hi on the radio.
Well, hi, Brilliant. How are you?
Who's this?
This is Greg. You know, your guy from
Greg.
Upstate New York.
Hey, Greg, welcome to the show. So what are you – they sound like they got you busy.
Well, it's a little bit busy, maybe, yes. We've got some well-seasoned Boston butt on the grill, got chicken with two different rubs on it, and we'll do salmon here in a little while.
Now, wait a minute. Hey, Greg, where did you say you're from?
Upstate New York.
You don't sound like upstate New York.
Well, it's South Syracuse then.
Oh, okay.
Laurie's laughing a little bit, I think.
Well, you guys saved me some, and next time maybe I'll be able to join everybody.
Oh.
I'd love to join, and we appreciate you, everyone, letting us crash the party. And, Laurie, I'm going to let you go and keep us posted and post some photos, guys, on Facebook so we can all see all the fun.
You've got that, plus someday you will have to do your show from here because it's such a wonderful group of people in a beautiful location, and you could not have a better hostess than Donna.
Yeah, well,
hang on,
sounds like fun. All righty.
Yeah, so that'll be – it's going to be fun.
All
excited.
All right, well, have fun, and don't drink too much of the bourbon, and have a good time there in Annapolis.
Oh, we will.
All right. We'll
Thanks
take
so
care.
Much.
We'll talk to you
okay,
later.
You
all right,
too.
Everybody. That's the Annapolis Food Group. Sounds like a great group of people. And they meet about every 3 months. And the group seems to be growing, and they have all kinds of gourmet food and drinks, and as you can hear. So, yeah, one day maybe Grillion Ideas will make it over there to the Annapolis area and join the fun. I'm going to take another brief break here and play a little music since the thing is now letting me work here. We're going to play one of our old guest group that's called Coleman Brothers. They've got a song that's called Ghost Town that I like, and I'm going to play that. And then we'll come back after the music, and I'll go over a little bit of some food news, and then we're going to call it a day. So everyone hang tight. This is the Coleman Brothers, and the song is called Ghost Town.
Echo of my footsteps, match the beating of my heart. The shadows and the loneliness since we've been apart. I'm haunted by a heartache and a never-ending swirl of desert dust and tumbleweeds. You've left me in a world that's a ghost town.
September 2011 when we started the show, but a lot of good guests there. We're also going to be
updating our website. We're going to be having a website dedicated to the show, and it'll be a lot easier for you to find some of your past guests, and that'll be coming out as soon as I get off my lazy butt and get the website up and rolling, but that'll make it easier to hear any of your past guests, your favorites, and some of your favorite shows. So that hopefully I'm going to get that done sometime in the next couple of months. And next week I wanted to mention, too, that we've got TV personality Diane DeMayo coming on, and some of you may know her. She's TV personality. She'll be a lot of fun. And we got Marie Simmons. Marie Simmons is a big-time cookbook author. She'll be joining us next week. And then we've got a band called Define the Revolution. They're part of the Short Circuit record group, and they're got an interesting sound. We'll be joining us next week, and should be a good show. We've got lots of people lined up between now and in April. If you know of anybody who wants to be on the show, who's a foodie or someone who's got musical talent, we're always looking for people for the show. Just give us an email, greeandideas@earthlink.net, or you can contact us through Facebook at the Facebook Gree and Ideas page or the Gree and Ideas Radio business page. And always looking for people on. If you want to come on and talk about your foodie business, your product, et cetera, you're always welcome. I wanted to just go over a little bit of food news, I guess more like food reports today, and before we close out the show. I saw this article that I had to read, and unfortunately, it's one of those stories about your health. But there are 160,000 fast food restaurants in the United States serving over 50 million customers daily. And unfortunately, the bulk of food offerings are loaded with calories from fat and added sugar. And this is Drew Orden of The Doctors. He says, "We're all guilty, and every now and then you have to splurge. But the problem is that so many people are getting into eating fast food, especially kids, as their staple." And he said, "And that's the point. We're all eating too much." Personally, I don't eat a lot of fast food anymore because I do a lot of grilling and other things on my own. But there's still a lot of folks out there eating fast food. And, of course, I've had my fair share. But the doctors revealed studies finding that found regular consumption of fast food items like fried chicken and onion rings are particularly bad for your liver, and these fried foods have many surprising complications and dangers for people that consume them. The amount of fat and saturated fats creates a condition called fatty liver. My liver has another problem, but we won't go there. What's interesting about the new information is that even after just a month of consistently eating fatty foods from fast food restaurants, there are significant changes in your liver, and the fried foods do affect your cholesterol and your waistline. So I guess the point of it is don't eat as many fatty foods because you don't want a fatty liver. Your liver is there for another reason. And another thing here, which is also another story about your health, et cetera, it says, if you look hard enough, there are signs that Americans are finally getting the message about how heavy and out of shape they are. Consumption of diet drinks is increasing, and the calories Americans consume from regular sodas are all way down. More than half of Americans say they are trying to drop some weight. But while the concern about obesity may have hit the national conscience, it hasn't really shown up on the bathroom scales for most Americans yet. The reality is that the nation is now entering a fourth decade of weight gain. If it continues to grow, about 42% of Americans may end up obese by 2030. If you go with the flow in America today, you will end up overweight or obese, as two-thirds of all adults do. So, yeah, I pig out a lot myself, but I guess we all need to watch what we're eating. And I just noticed another story here, just a little brief little blurb here. It talks about organics booming. And as the rest of the economy sputtered to recover in 2011-2012, organic food sales nationally grew to $29.2 billion. So the organic foods market is still growing even in the slow economy. So that, I thought that was interesting because I actually thought the opposite. I thought people weren't spending the extra money for the organics. I have my own opinion about some of the organic fruits and things that are out there. But looks like the organic business
is still booming, according to this article, in $29.2 billion. And one last story here is about, this is another health story, about convenience stores and junk food. And more consumers than ever are before telling us that eating healthy and paying attention to nutrition is important, even at the convenience stores. This report showed that consumers' perception of healthy food is changing as they become more health conscious. The study also found that consumers strongly associate with contemporary definitions of health, but balance better-for-you food choices with occasional indulgences. And according to a market researcher, just over two-thirds of Americans are opting for healthy fare. Consumers are more aware than ever of their own nutritional deficits and what poor eating habits can do in terms of their long-term health. As a result, today's consumers are seeking out healthy food with greater urgency. However, skeptical or confused consumers aren't likely to pay a premium for healthier foods. 7-Eleven introduced a line of fresh foods and downsized some of its fare of creating portion-sized items. The goal is to have 20% of their sales from fresh foods in its U.S. and Canada stores, which would be up from 10% now. Spokesman for 7-Eleven said, "We're aspiring to be more of a food and beverage company, and that aligns with what the consumer now wants, which is more tasty, healthy, fresh food choices." So looks like swinging in to get the big gulp in the chocolate bar is still a go at 7-Eleven, but they're trying to introduce more healthy foods and increase their sales from 10% to 20% of their food being healthy fare. So on those notes, I appreciate everyone joining us each and every Saturday. We do hopefully to be educational, entertain you, and have great guests. I'd like to thank all of our guests this morning. We couldn't do these shows without their help. Emily Ellen, thank you very much for joining us at EmilyEllen.com. Linky Moreras for joining us, and go to her website, LinkyCakes.com. Of course, Katarina and her monthly sexy dessert segment, we thank you, and go to her website, which is GoodFoodGourmet.com. Tonda from Tonda'sKitchen.com, thank you for coming in and talk to us about cheese. Jazzy Gourmet, of course. Sherry Kay, thank you for joining us this morning. And everyone check out her website for her music and her cooking tips and all other things that we mentioned in the interview. And last but not least, thank you to the Annapolis group for joining us. Sounds like you guys are having a lot of fun over there. And I'm just about out of breath. It's been a busy, busy show this morning. We thank everyone once again for listening in. Like I said earlier, you can always go back and listen to any of our old shows if you would like. And I'm going to play a really old guest. No, he's not old, but one of our past guests, which was one of my favorites. And he's doing really well, by the way. His name is Darren Sharp. And Darren is a country music singer that joined us, wow, I think must have been like the first year, I guess it was like back in 2011 when we first started. He joined us. He's a great country music singer who, he's kind of the old style country music, and doing very, very well. And we appreciate Darren joining us back in the day. And as a matter of fact, I want to have Darren, see if he'll come back on and give us an update about his career and what's going on with Darren there in the country music world. Everyone have a nice weekend. Join us again next Saturday. We'll be bringing you more Green Ideas Radio. Everyone take care, and this is Darren Sharp. It's cool to be country.
Won't have to relearn how to two-step or make myself some rough and rowdy friends. Start wearing faded Levi's and driving pickups when it's cool being country again. Well, already have my boots on, won't even have to break them in while you're searching through the rack for a John Deere hat. Mama, feel my head for it's always been. I'll be singing along. The cold warm in my hand.
passion. Or this city by my southern fried accent. Y'all, forgive myself a dog to ride on my toolbox.
Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply, located at 115 10 Mile Road in Fitzgerald, is where you'll find all of your barbecue supplies in one place. They have competition-grade barbecue sauces, high-quality specialty rub. Baxter's is the home of Komodo Joe ceramic grills, which are better than the Big Green Egg. Shop online at www.baxtersoriginal.com or visit Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply at 115 10 Mile Road or call 229-425-6583.
Website missing that extra zing? Do you need a radio commercial? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I can help you. Hello, I'm Christopher Trimble, and I am a voiceover artist. I offer these great services: website intros, corporate presentations, audiobooks, radio commercials, and much, much more. Check out my site, www.christophertrimble.com, or you can call 407-556-5506. Once again, that phone number is 407-556-5506. Making noise since 1970.